Welcome to Technomori Live. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me, Beth Bond.
It's me. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Beth, I brought a guest in that I thought might be interesting in your neck of the woods of building communities. I know that Technomori is a community builder, but as I was joking off air, ironically as it might sound, that is not my strongest suit. I'm a little bit of an introvert, so this will be kind of interesting. We've got Ryan Paul, co-founder of the community company.
Wait a minute, wait turn, a minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying wait.
Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. And by the way, I'm an introvert too.
So Beth, are you an introvert?
You're a great community builder.
I think I'm
builder.
An ambivert.
What is that? I don't
know. It's like sometimes
a little bit of both.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I think I'm like that. I don't even know. I'm so much better with animals, I feel like. Like, I talk to them all
the
time.
There is a community for you.
It's called the zoo. Yeah. That's the community for me. At any rate, Ryan, before we jump into the conversation about communities and building and what a good community looks like and how you build one, why don't you give us a rundown on sort of what Community Company is and does?
Sure. So the Community Company is really, you know, the culmination of 10 plus years of my partner Scott and I learning how to help others connect in more meaningful ways. And what we do at the Community Company is we help brands, publishers, B2B and B2C brands, as well as professional associations, do a better job of connecting their members, creating an engaged community, and helping increase the lifetime value of the people involved. Mm-hmm. So we plug in a variety of different bespoke ways to help them just make the communities that they've created better.
Very cool. I think, you know, Beth, you can speak even more to this than us. We got involved. Technomori as a whole was always kind of a community of itself. It was always like kind of tech entrepreneurs for themselves. Last year, really 16 and part of last year, we really got involved with big corporations, Salesforce as an example, Capital One as an example, Bank of America as an example. Trying to get involved in the community building aspect. How do we bring our flavor of community to them? How do they leverage the community they have, particularly if you look at Capital One with women and women in tech or women who code, women in tech who code and men as allies. And how do we sort of like mishmash the groups and communities? And one of the things that I recognized was they're okay at building, like at assembling their community. Mm. They're not that great. And that's just to be nice at actually letting the community build itself. It sort of feels like this top-down order that you are all to play nice together, right? And it just doesn't like work well. And so, Beth, you spend all of your time in the community and building stuff with the community. What is your experience in with, you know, have what has your experience been working with larger companies as it pertains to community?
Yeah, well, I think Ryan can probably speak a lot to this as well, but the community is there. It's just about leveraging tools to connect them and engage them in meaningful ways and consistently. So the community has assembled. It's just about making sure people feel a part of it.
Yeah. So that's where I left off is I left out the meaningful ways part. That's what I was like, oh, you just right. Listen to my show. That's good enough. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. Ryan, on your end, like what was it that you saw in the market that made you think, you know what, there's a huge opportunity for us to build communities or help facilitate community building within organizations and so forth? And, you know, is that the bulk of what you do? And if not, you know, what is the bulk?
Yeah, I mean, we help build community in all sorts of ways. I think Beth summed it up nicely. Like everyone has a community around them in some amorphous form. It's just how you leverage that and how do you build an engaged brain trust and mutual value through bringing those people together. I think that, you know, especially in the professional association space, and each and every one of us can think of like, you know, an organization that we've been told as we graduate college that we need to join. If you're in PR, you need to join like the PRSA. These groups have been around doing great things for decades, but they are, in my opinion, about to have to see a renaissance and figure out a way to re-engage their people in ways that they're not doing. Because over the years, a lot of them just haven't been able to keep up with technology and new ways of connecting and competition from other organizations like Technomori, for example, that has stepped in and really become a great place and a great free resource for people to come to for information that they otherwise would have gotten from these old school trade organizations.
Well, thank you for
I
the
think
point.
A renaissance is going to have with these guys. Look, I'm fans of you guys, and I've, you know, seen what you've done for years. Seth, you know, your founder is one of our earliest YEC members, and I've seen the foundational, you know, stuff that he's built and what you guys have taken over and, you know, brought to the next level. You do great things, and there's a lot that associations that have been around for decades and helped a lot of people can learn from you guys in order to better their organizations and make sure that they don't become irrelevant and antiquated over the next 10 years.
I actually talked to Scott, your co-founder, not all that long ago about that and how to re-engage and why I felt like YEC as an example did so well because that's not what I mean, and I don't even mean that in like terms of financial. There was a clear need that was not being met, and everyone is paying dues to go to these random organizations that somehow tangentially touch their business, and yet all it was here's your name tag, go meet people like you, they look like you. Right. You know, it's terrible. Right. They're not fun, and it's like, oh, don't worry, we've got a panel of speakers for the next 12 hours and some dry donuts for you to eat, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's not what I'm here for. You know, when we talked about it, I was like, why YEC is so interesting is it enables me to travel around the world and connect with people based on where I'm at that might or might not be helpful to me. And I know who they are. I reached out to them directly. And so when I see what you're doing with this, it makes me think, quite honestly, you having a platform that you set, you bring to companies, you bring to organizations, whatever the case, you have this unique ability to sort of, I don't want to say make those big organizations useless, but essentially make them just the data calc, like that's just, they just keep the data and you guys put on the events and stuff and they use their dues and resources to help lobby or whatever else they do.
Yeah. Look, I don't want them to be useless. I want to have them continue to be useful.
Right.
And by, you know, plugging into our organization and the technology and the philosophies and the systems and processes that we've developed over the last 10 plus years, I truly believe can help them be better and get them back to a place that they were 10 to 20 years ago, where they were that de facto got to be a part of this organization group that YEC has become for young entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Whatever organization you're a part of or whatever industry that you're in.
Whether we're talking about big brands or communities at large, like Technori and just Chicago Tech in general, or anything for that matter, what do you identify as the three most important things that a good community has?
First and foremost, just a good foundation. You know, I think that when communities launch, they need to have a visionary founder or collective of founders who set the tone for what that organization is going to be about, for making sure that everyone that they bring in brings the same goodwill and generosity that they made the foundational element of that community. Mm-hmm. The second is, I think that, you know, in the community building space, we hear a lot about how difficult it is to scale our efforts. And the word scale has become sort of like a stigma. And I think we got to not be afraid to do unscalable things sometimes. You know, for example, we work with a great community director on our team, Patrick O'Keefe. Him and I talk a lot about network effects within our communities and how we have these communities start to take on a life of their own. And frankly, like a lot of the things that you do early on aren't going to be that scalable. It's going to be like door-to-door selling. You know, you're going to spend a lot of time with individuals one-on-one and really get to know them. And you know what? That extra couple minutes that you spend getting to know someone that someone is telling you not to spend so you can optimize your time is actually where you're going to get that great nugget of goodness that allows you to bring them into your community and to make sure that, you know, they really feel like they're engaged and they really feel a sense of ownership and being a part of that. And then the third thing is, I think all of our organizations need to have like some really great carrots that allow people to get excited about coming in. Because I think today, it's easier than ever to create a community. It's easier than ever to be a creator of a group. So why should someone be a part of yours? You know, at YEC, we do a lot for our members to help them with their personal brands. We help them publish great content. We help them become thought leaders. And that is a great way to get people into our community and get them to understand all the other great stuff that's there and to earn their trust and, make sure that they know, hey, at the very least, if I make this investment, I know I'm going to get X. And from there, we invest in teaching them about all the other great stuff, the community, the people, and that's what keeps them around and keeps them renewing year after year. It's important to have that carrot that gets them in the door, I think.
I agree. I'm going to follow up to both you and Beth on this, and I assume we'll get the answer out of it regardless. But the follow-up question on this is always, and I ask this to everyone who's involved in the community, I asked it when we were at Dreamforce speaking to the guys from CEC in Dallas, like, how do you do this? And the question is, how do you control or limit bad actors? How do you make sure that the community doesn't end up getting kind of threaded by individuals who come in and just try to deal flow the hell out of people?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's hard to identify those people, right? They wear really great disguises
for a little bit, only for a few minutes. Actually, usually I pick them out almost immediately. I can like smell it in the air.
I think if you said go ahead. Sorry, Ryan.
No. What I was going to say is sometimes the problem is that you don't sniff them out until it's too late. Yeah. So they've posted something that can have a negative impact on the other organization members, people that are part of your community, and they have that cringeworthy, icky feeling because of someone's bad intentions. And yeah, you can nip it in the bud after the fact. But how do you identify those people earlier on? We think about this a lot. Every one of the communities that we've built is invite only and highly vetted. And we don't just go to their website to make sure that it's not a GeoCity site from like 1990. We go on every single page to make sure that there's nothing hidden in there that would be a product or service that, is sort of a red flag or a no-no for being a part of YEC.
Absolutely.
It's a very, very involved vetting process to make sure that we bring the right people into every organization.
Yeah. I think, you nailed it with the first thing is setting the tenant for what is your organization and what does it mean to be a member within it. And those people will kind of weed themselves out if you actually take that to task and, put tangible quantitative data around, okay, so if this was what your contribution or the connections that you wanted to make, like what was the actual output? And maybe make that transparent so that people can see, am I wasting my time if I'm here just for, business, or am I getting something out of it? It is truly to be a member of the community.
See, I take a much more unethical approach to it. I literally walk around the networking portion of Technori events, and if I hear people pitching things that I think are just like I just know you. Like, I can see it. I see it. I remove them from the mailing list. I'm not even kidding. I can't help it. It's
but
like, it just,
trying.
It's a, no, this isn't, I know the difference. Like, this isn't trying. This is like openly trying to take money from startups. Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. And so like,
well, if it's predatory, get them the hell out.
No, that's my point. Like, I don't do this like on my own judgment. If it's predatory, I know what this looks like. I've had this done to me throughout my entire career. I know what it looks like. And I don't make a scene. I'm not going to say anything. I just take them off the list. No big deal. Ryan, tell me, where do people get connected with all the things you're involved in, and how we can stay connected to you?
And just to learn more about the community company and what we do, just go to community.co. You can find me on Twitter, very easy, just Ryan Paw, nothing crazy. If you want to learn about the book Super Connector and all the philosophies that we've learned over the last 10 years and how we've applied them to our business and how you can apply them to what you're doing in your life, superconnectorbook.com is the place to check that out.
Excellent. Excellent. And then I think we talked about with this with Scott. We're going to have you guys come in either when you're next in Chicago or not. We're going to have you come in on the live show and talk more about in depth in the book and that sort of stuff. So I look forward to having you back on.
That would be awesome. Thank you guys for all the support. You guys do great things and looking forward to being back in Chicago with you.
Likewise, Ryan. Thank you so much. Tell Scott I said hello.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Or you can follow me at Katoon, or you can follow Beth Bond at
Beth Bond.
Boom. That's a wrap.